Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Journey to My Deen podcast. If you are a returning listener, welcome, and if you are a new listener, welcome back to the Journey to My Deen podcast. I hope that you are having a lovely, lovely day, and I am truly glad to be back. As I said in the last episode of the Journey to My Deen podcast, I have been amazing. Currently, I'm recording this after I recorded the first episode, so I'm just going to spill the tea and tell you that I'm having a lovely day. Alhamdulillah, it's currently, like, my time is so bad. It's something. I think it's noon now. I'm not pretty sure because my phone isn't on me. But I've been having a okay week. I'm still home. I'm still in my house every day. I wake up. I brush my teeth. I try to work out. Eat breakfast. Play on my iPad. I am an iPad kid. I'm sorry. I am an iPad kid. I've been for 2 years and I'm not coming back ever again. So I love my iPad. Take with that information as you will. But I would just also play on my Nintendo. And I try my best to work, like, before I start school again, because I am resuming a little bit later than everybody else. But I don't care. I mean, I'm in my rebel era, so why not? Alhamdulillah, I'm good and everything is fine. So from the title of the podcast, I'm going to be spilling and dishing on how it has been like growing up in Nigeria and what I honestly, my two cents on how it is growing up as a Nigerian female, a black Muslim female, and how it's affected who I am, my personality, and like the social prowls of Nigeria. And let me dish out and tell you what it's like being a 21-year-old in Africa, in West Africa, Nigeria, because West Africa is not Nigeria alone, it's like a lot of other country. We're not doing a geography exam right now, so honestly, I only know Ghana. Ghana is in Africa, and Niger, and Chad, and don't come for me if I don't know other places, because I did not take geography in high school, so do not come for me, okay? So, firstly, I'm going to talk about how life was with my mother. So, you don't know, I think I've mentioned this before, but my mom is a single mother and she's been raising us for my entire life. My dad was around until 8 when they got divorced, and my father is very much still alive. Before anyone starts with a sympathy thing that he's dead, he is so much alive. And she's been raising us since I was born, basically, since I was born. I don't think there's any need to like go deeper than that, because a lot of people unfortunately have had the unfortunate experience with being raised by a single mother and not having their fathers with them. But I was raised by a single mother and she did all she could. She's doing her thing. I really look up to her. I love her and respect her so much. Every single day is a new thing, honestly. The experience of being raised by a single mother, honestly, at this point, I'm already used to not having a man in my life. And honestly, like, I feel like it's a good and a bad thing, because when it comes to choosing a man for myself, I'm so confused as to who I want. But at the same time, it's also a new experience. Because also from learning from my friends this summer, a father isn't only there to protect his daughter, but he's also there to teach her what an example of a man should be for the future. My friends, when they describe their ideal man, I truly see it in them that their fathers have shown and given a good example of what a man should be in your life, what role a man should play in your life. And honestly, like, if I had my father there, like, I could see clearer what a man could be. But at the same time, if my father was there, would I be who I am now? Would I have been spoiled? You know, all these questions that I always have in my mind, I always, like, question myself, like, how would I have been if my father was around? Would I be who I am? Would this podcast ever exist? Would I ever be close to the deen like I am now? Would I know of the deen's existence the way that I do now? Would I respect myself the way I do now? Or would I be just some pampered daddy's girl, you know? So I try my best to ask myself these questions, but at the same time, I don't dwell on it too much, because, like, it's not my job to know all these things, because obviously this is my journey and this is what Allah has written for me, and He knows the best path for me, because there's so many people who could have also had single parents, single mothers, but maybe they can't take it the way I can. So Allah chooses what path He gives to you, knowing what you can handle as a person. He gives you what He knows. Like they say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. He doesn't give you more than you can chew. And He obviously knows us the best. Who knows us better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, only Allah knows, because He's our creator and He's the giver of life. And He knows what He created. So He knows the kind of responsibility we're all able to handle. That's why He puts us all in positions in which He knows that we're capable of handling or not capable of handling. That was a lot of talking about daddy. See me talking about daddies. I really do have some daddy issues, but we're not going to go into that because you're not my therapist, are you? So my mom did her best. Obviously, there was a lot of backlash because she's a single mother, and with Nigeria, the society is all, if you realize this, but a lot of culture places who have deep-rooted culture, and this is Africa. Where is Africa without culture? Who is Africa without culture, you know? There's also society, and society is also very, very, very strong on being in your business and not minding their own business, because if they minded their own business, maybe they wouldn't have as much issues as they do have today. But I'm not about to go aggressive on the aunties, the uncles, the mommies, and the daddies, and the sons and the daughters. You know yourselves, okay? So honestly, with society, it's like a bit harder for her. It was harder for her. It still is still today, because people are like, oh my God, where's her husband? Where's her father? Some people blamed her when it wasn't her fault at all. And it's just pretty sad to see that till this day, people still don't understand that marriage is don't work out. But I'm also glad that we're living in an era. I'm not glad about this, but for her sake, we're living in an era where people are divorced more. Mothers are raising their kids single now without the fathers in their lives because men are deadbeat. I'm not about to be a man hater right now, but some men are deadbeat. And they are doing it. They're doing their thing. And not to differentiate between single families and joint families, but as I said before, Allah knows your situation, and He knows the reason why we are all in the situation that we are in. Not to say that we're not happy, because we are so happy. Alhamdulillah, we are satisfied, we can breathe, we can eat, we can see, and we are comfortably living. We live lavishly, comfortably, and I'm in a position to even have a podcast. So that's to tell you something, that my life is completely fine, alhamdulillah. So honestly, being raised by a single mother is amazing. I love it. Wouldn't advise for other people, no, because she also never saw this for herself as well. If you asked her this, like, many, many years and decades ago, would I be raising two kids by myself? No, she would have envisioned herself with a husband, and he would be helping her raise kids. But as much as we plan, Allah is a better planner for all of us. He knows the situation that we find, He gives us, and He knows the reason why He gives it to us. So, would not recommend, but if you do find yourself in a position, don't just panic about it. Just honestly accept it and embrace the new norm. It's the norm. I'm already used to it. So, how toxic is back home? How toxic is back home? Toxic. It is toxic. Honestly, like, every cultured home. Like, I've had so many friends tell me that I have Arab friends, Pakistani friends. The good thing about having other people as your friends is they're able to tell you that not only Nigeria is toxic, like the community, you know, every single international, every race has their own toxic energy, like their own toxicity. And it's hard, but honestly, I feel like you can't escape it. If you have culture, like, it's gonna be there no matter what you do. Unfortunately, it's always gonna be there. That toxicness will always be there. But you can just try your best to deflect it as much as you can. How I've coped since high school, I have not been coping well. But for me, it's easier because I went to another country. I'm not schooling in Nigeria currently. Alhamdulillah for that. And I am in Turkey. I'm schooling in Turkey. So I'm obviously, there are Nigerians there too. But I keep communication with them limited to, like, only the nice ones, not the ones who act all like crazy, like they don't know where they're from and they start acting like they never seen another country before. But I try my best to interact with as much people as I can, because I don't look at from where you are or who you are, Nigerians too. I look up what's in your heart, and I see, and that's what attracts me most, is what's in your heart. So how I deflect toxicity, I just deflect it and I ignore it. Honestly, I don't have a solution for that one. Honestly, for me, like, I don't have like a two-step plan on how to like deal with it, because for me, I haven't figured it out. So if you have any way of figuring out how to deflect toxic energy, please drop it down below, because I really need it, because toxic energy is just like a floating bubble that just waiting to burst by mistake if you pop it with a pin, and game over. So the society, honestly, I feel like culturally wise, you can't really have culture without society, but at the same time, society is a problem. It's a very big problem because people don't know how to mind their own. But when society, what the best thing about society is, when it's time to come together and band together, and just when you need society the most, it's there, but it can be so toxic. So it's a good and a bad thing, honestly. As I said before, you gotta take the toxicness with the society. You can't have one and not have the other. The both of them have to come together. It's just like positive and negative. If you have positive, rest assured, negative will always follow. If you have negative, positive will always follow. So if there's a good side of the of society, there will always be the bad side, and vice versa. So honestly, as I said, I don't have a solution or a two-step plan. Like, just take it as it is and just say alhamdulillah, deflect as much as you can. Block the toxic energy. Don't talk to people that make you feel like you're going out of your comfort zone. Like for me, for instance, like I don't have like all those toxic friends. As soon as I feel like your energy and you're giving off the very like negative Nancy Nelly vibes, I'm like cutting you off, because I don't got time for all that. Like every time that I open my mouth, if you're not making me money, then I don't know what we're doing right now. Honestly, I'm sorry to say, but the economy is crippling, especially from an African country. Like, you have to believe, you best believe that money is time. Like, money really is time. The more time you waste talking, the less money I make. You're honestly wasting both of our time. So I'm joking, but I'm also not joking. So really, just take whatever I say with a pinch of salt, because like, as I said, society is toxicness and also can be amazing, but at the same time, it's like with a lot of drama, but I live for drama. I really do live for drama. So, see me blabbing on, and I never even told you where I'm from. Okay, so basically, the most complicated thing I can do is tell you how, from what part of Nigeria I am at. This is how I am whenever people ask me, like, oh my god, are you Yoruba? I'm not Yoruba, man. Not every Nigerian is Yoruba. And also, I want to clear up a misconception that everybody has. Just like if you're from, you're an Arab person and you speak Arabic, and you expect all Arabs to speak Arabic. Yes, all Arabs speak Arabic. But not all Nigerians speak Nigerian, okay? We don't have one language. We don't speak Nigerian. Nigeria is a very diverse and lengthy place with different languages. I think we have a 500 languages, I'm not sure, but 33 or more common. Out of the 33, I'm part Hausa Fulani, but I only speak Hausa. So yeah, don't come for me because I can't speak the other one. I was raised in a Hausa house, like a Hausa household, so it's not really like easy for me to learn the other one when I wasn't really raised with it. And language is very difficult to learn if you were not learning it from childbirth. So I'm from the north. Yorubas are from the west or somewhere, I don't know, but they're from somewhere. I'm from the northern side of Nigeria, and I'm probably north. I say that with like with a little chest, but I am probably north. I'm alhamdulillah, I was born a northerner, and I am happy that I was born a northerner, honestly. So how did growing up a Nigerian impact me? I mean, that's my identity. If you ask me, who are you? I say, my name is Fatima Hazamahi, and I am Nigerian. I am 21 years old. I am a Muslim. First Muslim, then a Nigerian. But that's who I am, and that's exactly what you're going to get when you ask me who I am. This is who I am and my identity. Yes, I got depressed. when I was younger, yes, I got a lot of heartbreak. Yes, I got a lot of deceit and lies. But where else in the world wouldn't you go and you'll find all those things? Everywhere in the world is toxic. If you came on this podcast clicking to hear anything different, then I'm sorry to tell you this, but everybody has issues. It's just how you decide to get over these problems. Because honestly, I could have stayed wallowed. Even like I'm saying this, and I want you to listen to me extremely carefully. This is not a cause for you to say you want to commit suicide. I know a lot of people who have been suicidal Nigerians, yes. And I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, you're loved. I'm not saying this to just like make you feel like you're like I'm just saying this because that's what everyone says, but you are truly loved. If you can't find one person in this world that loves you, know that the person who created you loves you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, so you have no right to take your life. Once upon a time, I was suicidal. When I was depressed, I did contemplate taking my life, and I had gotten to the point where I had stopped all emotions, and I was like a brick wall, and I wanted it to end. But then something happened and I was able to find the Deen. And this was part of my own journey of how I learned to survive, to thrive, and have a self-discovery of who I am and what I wanted to make of myself. So honestly, the impacts that I've had being an Nigerian is of like everyone else. Just like you're Arab, or I'm not obsessed with Arabs, or you're Korean or Indian or Pakistani, but from any part of the world, you're white, you're brown, you're black. You were raised the way you were raised, and that is your identity. That is who you are, and there is nothing different. I can learn to live as a Pakistani or as a brown person or a white person, but I will never be anything other than a black African person. That is who I am, and that is what I make of myself, you know? So I can never be anything other than who I am today. So to say that it's impacted me is an understatement, but it is who I am and it is what it is. I wouldn't change anything that has happened to me in the past, even though it hasn't been the best. I will take it all over again if it means that I get to be who I am today, to have the family that I have today, to have the people that I have in my life today. I would do it all over again. And then, how did Islam save me? How did it not save me? Literally, these questions I asked on my Instagram, and these are the questions that I'm getting back. So how did it save me? Honestly, how didn't it save me? Like I said before, because of the Deen, I was able to not kill myself. Because of the Deen, I was able to find answers to all the things that were missing in my life. I was able to fill that hole, that void in my life. The joy that the Deen has given me, the meaning. I finally feel like I found my place. When I put on my hijab, I feel like this is who I am and this is what I'm meant to be. This is the place that most suits me in the world. When I was confused and lost, I asked myself, what is it that you're looking for? Who are you? And what is it that you're here for? It gave me meaning and purpose, and it gave me this feeling of just life and the purpose of who I am. I got to discover who I was and what my meaning was in this life, and it gave me a sense of endowment. It gave me a sense of like strength. It gave me pride to know that this is who I am and this is what I found. So if you're struggling Muslim and you're going through it, or you're trying to find your way to the Deen, pray about it, and also take your time with the Deen, because the Deen is a hard thing to practice. It's hard to practice and it's hard not to practice. So you gotta pick your poison here. Everything in life is hard. You either choose one or the other, and if you choose one, it's hard. If you choose the other, it's even harder too. No, being lazy is hard, and being not lazy is hard. Being smart is hard, and being not smart is also hard. As much as you like to admit it's not, it's really hard. So just picking your poison with that, and take your time. As I said, that's my advice. Take your time, pray about it, and also find people that you believe are like-minded than you. If I didn't have friends who were of the Deen or didn't know about the Deen, it would have been so hard for me to find it. I think I would still be on my journey, or I wouldn't even be on the journey of the Deen now if I didn't have the people around me. You know, the journey is not only about you, but also the people you pick up. all the people in your life that have come in and out, they were meant to be there for a reason. And as much as you feel like they betrayed you, or they stabbed you, or they made you feel in some sort of way, all these people make and break you and make you who you are. So all the people that were in my life before that have destroyed me and that have given me purpose, I thank each and every one of you, the good and the bad, because I wouldn't be who I am without you. So also you too. Irregardless of what you have going on in your life, thank each and every one of them, because they are the people making it in your life. And I know it doesn't seem like that now, trust me. There was a point in my life where I hated everybody, even the good, but I found purpose in my life and I was able to make meaning of it, and I was able to strengthen myself and to give myself the pride that I wanted to, and to give myself the ability to stand strong, and also to accept that not everything in life is like not a blessing, but also I had to see it in another way. Like, the Dean gives you a clear view of who you are and also the blessings in life. Even when you don't see any blessing, there is a blessing. So my final question is, how to survive as a youth in Nigeria? Honestly, you don't. You really don't, because like, the old people are like so, I love old people, but like, honestly, like, I can't tell you how much old people, like, I don't know if it's because you're old, but I can only tolerate my grandparents, and rest, like, may Allah rest their soul in peace, but wallahi, I don't know, something about the old people, like, they make me so mad, but you know what, we can't do without them, because we're gonna get old too, and then when we get old, we're gonna realize this is the reason why they were mean to the young people as well. So I can't fault them all, but honestly, surviving in Nigeria is like it's a two. I don't know how to survive in Nigeria, because I'm barely surviving, man. But honestly, just be you, find people that you love, and mind your business. Don't enter people's business in any way, even if you're in Korea or you're in China or you're in the North Pole. Mind your business, because the moment you decide to enter people's business, that's when the problem begins, and that's when drama happens, and then you're known for drama and this, and oh my god, it's a long, long list, and you don't want to find yourself in the middle of that. So, that is the end, okay? That is the advice that I have for you about growing up in Nigeria, about being a youth in Nigeria, and about just surviving and being a Nigerian in general. It's not easy because it's Nigeria, but where is it easy? It's not easy anywhere. The world is like, I don't want to say the S word, but it is. And it's hard, and it's going to keep getting harder. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to shoulder that hardness and difficulty. And that is a prayer that I have for each and every one of you. So whoever you are listening out there, you're not alone. We're all in this together. We're all struggling youths trying to get by. And inshallah, everything will work out the way it's supposed to work out, because Allah knows best, and He has written all of our destinies, and He knows what is going to happen at the end of the day. Till the day we enter the grave, and we have to answer His questions. So, with that being said, that is the end of the podcast. Unfortunately, I know, you're going to miss me, I'm going to miss you too, but I have to go. And I'm really excited to be back, as I said in the previous episode and the beginning of this episode. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear more of me chattering on. I'm literally running out of ideas of episodes, but I also have a flush of ideas as well. I really hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you guys loved what I said and the advice I give you. Even if it helps one person, I'm glad that it's going to give you guys a little snippet of what it's like being Nigerian, because I can't tell you, you just have to experience it for yourself. If you're thinking of coming to Nigeria, please come. It's a lot, but at the same time, it's really fun once you just settle down and we have amazing food. Know that our jollof rice will always be the best. I'm sorry that I had to say that. I've been watching a lot of YouTube. Like, I'm not going to say, because I don't want to cause more feud, but our food is the best. So I'm just going to put that out there and do with that information as you will. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the Journey to My Deen podcast. And please continue praying for Palestine, and inshallah they will be free. Boycott, and the most important thing, prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Keep praying for Palestine. Free Palestine, and also free Nigeria. Inshallah, we will see the end of this suffering that we are currently going through. And may Allah give us the strength. I love you guys so much, and I appreciate you guys for listening to the podcast. If you are listening to this in the morning, evening, and night, may you have a lovely day, night, week, and the rest of your week or weekend, whatever time zone you're listening to this podcast from, and I will talk to you guys on the next episode of the Journey to My Dream podcast. Assalamu alaikum.